For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Fred and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Oh, there he is. There's Austin Lange.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, dude, come on, Hamby.
I made like literally
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's just got to let the video roll.
Some. I mean, what are we doing?
I mean, you couldn't handle the pressure of the camera. It was pretty obvious.
I guess.
8 out of 10. You were disappointed in that 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it was all right, man. My shot got kind of messed up a little bit at the end.
When was the last time you actually played basketball?
Well, actually, I played basketball. That would have been, man, that was like 3 or 4 years ago when I was back home for Christmas. And like my friends call it a beer league. And they invited me to come play in the beer league. It was like a bunch of guys I, you know, played against in high school. And needless to say, man, I was a little rusty. So I think they're kind of disappointed in terms of inviting me to come play with them. But
were you a good free throw shooter back in the day?
No, I was like 70%. I was,
well, that actually 70% when for a bigger guy.
Yeah, yeah, was that, but I mean, it could have been better. Let's just say.
Well, of course, it could be better.
Yeah,
I think overall, what do you think? Free throw shooting pretty good now, or like a lot better than it's been? This tournament's been weird. There's been a lot of misses, but I felt like going into the tournament, if you asked me that question like 2 weeks ago, I'd say I think overall in the NBA and in college basketball, it's a lot better than I remembered 5 years ago.
Yeah, Brent, you say that, and then I watched Giannis last night with the Bucks take on the Pelicans, and I think it has got better overall, but there's still some of those players that just seem to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, there are definitely some guys that just can't do it, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we take that play for granted.
The free throw.
Like, we take it for granted, like, the name even indicates. You're supposed to make it. You're wide open.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You've practiced it. Everybody who's ever played basketball has, you know, ended practice or started practice or whatever with 100 free throws or whatever else, you know? And I just think when you get down to the end of a game, I mean, when these kids are 18, 20, 22 years old even, they haven't been in a lot of those moments. The stakes are raised last night. And I actually saw, I think in that Iowa State-Illinois game, I think it was, there's a 50% free throw shooter hit both his free throws and a 60% free throw shooter who hit both his free throws.
Yeah, I mean, that last night, Iowa State should have won that game a couple of times. You know, missed layups, missed bunnies, and Illinois took advantage. You know, and sometimes it comes down to literally, it's so cliche, but it comes down to a few plays. And sometimes it comes down to the easiest ones. And Iowa State couldn't capitalize last night, and Illinois ends up winning that game. Listen, I'm sure we'll break down more of the tournament later, but feeling pretty good right now about UConn being my champion.
Yeah. Well, we'll just wait till later.
Okay, we'll talk about it now.
Hey, Hamby, was Hamby a basketball guy? Did he play basketball? I don't remember if he did or
no
not.
Basketball
school, I can't remember.
Okay, so you can't shoot free throws then.
No, I mean, yeah, I'd probably shoot about...
I think he's conceding.
I'd probably shoot about 55-60% right now. Wasn't a big basketball guy.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. What'd you play instead of basketball then? Ping pong in the garage?
Yeah, and when I was a kid, I played football, but I was literally just year-round baseball, week in, week out, the whole time. The opposite
yeah.
of
mm-hmm.
I specialized instead of diversify, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so. Overall, I do think free throw shooting, like you have your guys, like maybe Giannis, or we have people that stick out that are so bad at it that I think it morphs our perspective of how many people are good at it. Like there are a lot, like Dame Lillard's hitting like 93% right now from free throw. I think he leads the NBA. Mm-hmm. We have guys in college basketball that shoot 91-92%. And we've discussed this before and had fun with it that, you know, that college basketball atmosphere behind that hoop sometimes.
Yeah.
And in the end of the games and some of the places you go, to be 92, 93% some of those spots, that's pretty impressive.
So, I mean, listen, I'm no free throw expert by any means, but, like, I want to say my freshman year, I was only, like, around, like, the 60%, even sometimes, like, 55% range. And, like, I got the advice of, like, you're thinking about it too much. Just shoot the basketball. And, like, you see some of these guys who struggle shooting free throws, like, they take their time, they're going through their form. And I just feel like when you do that, you're putting so much more on yourself to be like, okay, here we go, here's another free throw. As opposed to just going, like, Steph Curry, just, shoot it up there, and it's in.
It's second nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, there Austin, is something different about that.
What's up?
Did you see Moses Brown's free throw shooting the other day? I didn't know who he was until 2 days ago. He's a big for Portland Trail Blazers.
I have not seen Moses Brown free throw shooting.
All right, well, during the break, I'll have to go pull it because it's one of the worst of all time.
Okay, I mean, if you're going to describe it.
That's saying a lot, by the way.
Yeah, if you're going to describe it, what are we talking about here?
We're talking two dribbles, gather with two hands, transfer it to one, mm-hmm. and flicking it with one, and we're barely hitting the rim.
Ooh, oof.
That's not good. All right, hey, how about the NCAA tournament? Those games were really good. You just said it, UConn. I mean, they are now beating everybody by 30.
Just relax, UConn.
Listen, I get why everybody thought UConn was the team to beat, but now are we seeing some kind of historic plow through the tournament? I mean, that starts to enter the fray a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, watching that game for like the first 10 minutes, so it was like, oh, okay, and this could be a competitive game with San Diego State, and then UConn just reminded us why they're UConn, and it wasn't even close. Yeah, I mean, if they keep doing what they're doing, make no mistake about it, but like that San Diego State team was a pretty legit team. They were good, and UConn just made them look like a YMCA rec team. So, yeah, I don't see the signs of UConn really slowing down at all, just because they're so versed everywhere. They have experience. They're obviously greatly coached. It's just they have everything that you want out of a championship team. And, like, yeah, sure, you might have, like, an off-shooting night per se, but I still, like, even with an off-shooting night, you can still make up for that with your experience that they have.
How concerned are you about UConn, Hamby? I mean, are they just going to run this thing, or are we going to see somebody pull the upset? And maybe it's Illinois that's able to do it. Maybe it's the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, three more are going to get a crack at it. But right now, I mean, I don't know what their odds were to win the tournament in the early going, but right now it feels like it's just elevated, like, triple time, whatever the odds are. Anybody beating UConn?
I mean, they're 8.5-point favorites over Illinois tomorrow night, which is pretty substantial, even though it's 1-3. So, you know, it's going to take a team that shoots lights out from three, probably, is the only chance that a team is going to have to upset them. And right now, I don't know. I don't think they have odds to run the table and win the championship because we're so late into it. But I would venture to say that it's probably about even odds for them to win it right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, I would, maybe better.
Yeah.
It might be better the way they look. You know what's interesting about this? You know, we talk about Zach Edey,
mm-hmm.
and then UConn has a ton of size as well.
Yeah.
So this is like a tournament, really, that feels like it's shifted more toward the interior play, or at least the size game, than it has the guard game. And I'm not saying we have plenty of examples that guards are playing and playing well, too.
I mean, look at Illinois.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we might get a matchup of Purdue and UConn, and those are bigs.
True, yeah. But, I mean, once again,
UConn's got it all.
UConn can do it all, man. They have the perimeter shooting to go along with the bigs. It's just, yeah, UConn's kind of like that unicorn, man, that, you know, you don't see a team like them every tournament. But, no, I think it is a testament, too, where, listen, I was the first one to say it. I just feel like the bigs are kind of slept on as they should be just because it's more of a guard game now. It's more of a higher-scoring game. But Zach Edey averaging, what, 24, 25, something, 26 points a game in this tournament, and then obviously with UConn as well. Maybe you're starting to see a resurgence a little bit, Brent, of the bigs.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a resurgence. I think it actually goes back. It's almost more like it's a unicorn, right? It's like you play in a different way than everybody else. Like, that's what Edie is, in my opinion. I mean, nobody has that. Like, how do you prepare for that? How do you defend for that? What are you going to do to counter that? And so, like, when you play Purdue, you're playing – like, you got to play Purdue different than you'd play almost anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go try to find a giant Russian or, like, European dude to try to recruit real quick to stop Edie, because that's all you can do with him. Like, who you have is who you have. If you have guys that are below 7 feet, good luck to you.
What else did you think? I mean, Clemson.
Well, okay. So, Brent, I owe you an apology, because I thought North Carolina was going to mop the floor with him.
Well, that was Alabama.
I'm sorry. Clemson was
Arizona.
Sorry. Same thing, though, because I had Arizona going on in my Final Four. Yeah, I got a little confused. Yeah. So I had Arizona in my Final Four, and they're playing some good basketball. And I thought Clemson, in terms of just their travel and everything, no, I think that actually maybe benefited them a little bit for whatever reason. But I was not familiar with Clemson's game. Didn't watch a lot of Clemson Tiger basketball this year, but they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is like out of the blue, by the way. I mean, they were getting, I think, a little disenchanted with their coach. I think that the program, they haven't been to the Elite Eight since 1980. And I think I saw that in 1980. Mm-hmm. And then also Illinois. Illinois hadn't been since for 19 years to the Elite Eight, which surprises me. I feel like I've seen them peak, but hey, 20 years goes by fast, I guess, because they did have some good teams back in the early 2000s and even in the 90s that you remember. So, you know, we say we didn't really get Cinderella. Clemson actually is a little bit, has a Cinderella feel. NC State will play tonight. Mm-hmm. But I think some of these historic, oh, welcome back to the fray teams feel a little Cinderella-ish with Illinois and Clemson. Maybe you got to wear orange.
Yeah, maybe that's the key right there. And, you know, talking about Alabama then as well, I owe you guys an apology again, because I was not, I mean, I knew who Alabama was, but they lose that one guy to injury.
Yeah.
And UNC shoots lights out in the first half. I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I expected to happen. But, and I always say this, and I think, you know, we had a coach Driscoll from UNF talk about this, where it's like, you know, being able to shoot and score, that's talent, right? You can either have that, you can facilitate that, but you either have that or you don't. Defense is all about attitude. And I thought that in that second half, Alabama really showed in terms of defense, of stepping up to the plate a little more and shutting down that North Carolina team. Because in the first half, North Carolina kind of had the run. Wide open shots, and they're a great shooting team. So credit to Alabama coming out the second half, changing up a little bit, and playing some damn good defense.
So you're looking at my bracket, and, you know, obviously decent shape. Iowa State, I just lost them. So there you go for a Final Four, trying to be a little gutsy there, and it didn't pay off. But Clemson has. Now we get Clemson, Alabama, actually, and Hamby has Alabama going to the Final Four. So it'd be kind of a nice win just to get even Clemson into the Final Four for me, or Alabama for Hamby. The one thing about Alabama, now this is a nice couple-year run for Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide. They were number one seed. Last year they were disappointing. Mm-hmm. And now here they are again knocking on the door with a little less pressure on them as a number four seed. And maybe that's just a better place to be. And they were able to get the win and represent the SEC. SEC still has two teams left. So we'll see.
Breathing a giant sigh of relief after that,
after that opening day.
After that opening stumble.
So let's stay on college hoops just for a second tonight as you watch him here at String Sports Brewery. Come on out in the evening. 7:09 is the first tip on CBS 47. And I think this is going to be a fun game. You're the hottest team in America. You can really make the case in NC State. Mm-hmm. Can they keep cooking against a Marquette team that's trying to kind of find itself again with Kolick in there? I like this game. Might be my favorite game of the night, even. I mean, there's some good ones.
There's some great ones.
I do like Creighton, Tennessee a lot, actually even more than the Purdue-Gonzaga game.
Yeah.
And obviously Duke and Houston speak for itself. But if you're going to – I think NC State Marquette has the will have some crazy entertainment value. And probably just because – well, that's got to be where – is that where – no, Catalan's in Detroit, so he's got Gonzaga. Purdue. Maybe I should actually say that's where the entertainment's going.
Yeah, usually it follows them. Do you think Trent Baalke's going to be recruiting that big guy tonight with the long arms for NC State, like the big dude?
Burns?
I can't remember his name now. Yeah,
he's you know what's funny about
Burns.
You know what's interesting about him and the Lampkins kid out of Colorado? big guys that can really move.
I know.
Now, the NC State guys are a little different kind of big. Yeah, it's not like they go play them for 3 minutes and they've got to sit them down. I mean, a lot of those kind of guys, sometimes on the basketball court, you wonder if they can walk and chew gum. It's kind of like the difference with, like, Edie, you know, 7'4".
It's one thing
to be 7'4", but he's an athletic 7'4". Yeah. He can do more than walk and chew gum, which is even more of an advantage. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can't like today's games, tonight's games.
Yeah.
Great spot to watch him right here at String Sports Brewery, and we'll see how it shakes out. And by Monday, when we come back at it, the Final Four will be set for 2024. All right, let's take a timeout. We come back. We'll see what happened in Major League Baseball. Update you on, obviously, the NFL. We have an interesting quarterback topic. I saw an article that was actually a little bit of what we were talking about in the last couple of weeks about the 2021-22 quarterback class, but it comes with some executives commenting about why some of those guys are failing, and I thought there was some interesting stuff there. We'll get to it in just a bit. Come on out, hang out with us for lunch here at String Sports Brewery in Springfield. Free throw shooting contest, TV up for grabs, free beer up for grabs as well. Austin still hanging in there with Marquette. Marquette could be a big one, and he's got UConn as a national champ. I like his chances after watching the Huskies play over the last couple of weeks.
Welcome back to the Brett and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network.
Hey, here's a look at String Sports Brewery. They really decorate this place nice when it comes to Jacksonville sports. You see a Gamble, one of the Gamble brothers, Jumbo Shrimp, and you know the names there, Stroud, Lambo, Peterson, Norman, and then look at that number 23 up there, Foye Aluakin, who's made an appearance here on Jaguars All Access at String Sports Brewery in the past, and he signs a new extension with the Jacksonville Jaguars today, number 23 up there. Here at String Sports Brewery as the lunch crowd starts to come in. I mean, just open the doors at 11 o'clock, and oh, here they come. I would expect this to be a great day to be here at String Sports Brewery. You got the outside and a beautiful day in Jacksonville. Maybe getting off work a little bit early on a Friday because does anybody really work on a Friday anymore? Like, when did that stop? But nobody works on a Friday, especially a holiday weekend kind of
true.
Friday.
But my son's off of school again, so there you go.
My kids are off of school. Of course, my kids are seniors, so I don't know if they actually go to school.
There you go. I mean, yeah, it's the last year. You're all good to go.
But it looks like we're going to have a fantastic weekend weather-wise as well. Great to watch the NCAA tournament here at Strings. Again, free throw shooting contest. You just made 8 out of 10 again.
Yeah, the guy put pressure on me. He said, if I make 10 out of 10, I'm going to be eligible for the TV. Yeah, he even said it. Yep, right over here. Well, and
that's the thing. You could be up against anybody. Like he said, I don't care who it is. I don't care if you play for a professional team or if you play for the Ospreys or the Dolphins.
Yeah.
He said one of the great, really good shooters from Episcopal, KJ is the young man's name. He qualified. So you're going to have to go against a really good shooter out of Episcopal if you come back next Saturday. But you have until now, from now all the way through next Friday to do this. We'd love for you to come out in the show, challenge us. We'll buy you a beer if you beat us.
Yeah.
But 10 for 10, you have until next Friday to get into the playoff, which will start to take place next Saturday here at Strings.
I mean, I had the pressure on me, Brent. I just kept seeing visions of me playing that PS5 and that new flat screen TV right there, and it just 8 out of 10 again. I can't shake 8 out of 10. Second time I got 8 out of 10.
Well, here's what I'm looking at on this. This is how my brain operates now. If you get this TV, it does have Apple TV and Roku as well, and so Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network, folks.
See, that's where Brent's mind goes, helping out our show. I just go to video games right away, but it's all good.
You got to check out the network. That's what you can easily find. ActionNewsJacks.com, Action News Jacks app. And if you're watching in your living room, you download the Action News Jacks Now app, and you can see it on all those different platforms on that big 65-inch TV or whatever TV you have at home. Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, and Jason Hamby on this Friday. We might have to give this old guy a boost to get to the free throw.
For sure, for sure.
Bring that thing in, wheel that thing in a little bit more.
You can't be talking smack to 5-year-old.
We got to have like a little hoop over here.
Yeah. Now
that's
we're
a
talking.
Tough putt right there,
dude. That's a really tough putt. I think my son would even have problems with that one.
Yep. I used to be the greatest. I could still visualize myself in the driveway.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I mean, it's like a mega squat, man, to get that thing. heaving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like a boulder in your hands when you're like 30 pounds.
And then my hoop was at like my grandfather's cabin, so it was like a dirt road with rocks. And I remember just thinking, like, man, like, if I can master it here, I can master it anywhere. Like, oh, what's this, a clean court? Like, that's waxed? Dude, I'm playing with gravel and rocks and everything.
You genuinely thought you were like Larry Bird or something, right?
Listen,
Terre Haute or...
I don't compare myself to Larry Bird a lot for good reason, but yeah, in that instance, I was definitely like Larry Bird.
You had the story all played out in your mind. Austin Lane, NBA player. Look where he grew up, playing on the rocks and the dirt at Grandpa's in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The story could write itself. Mm-hmm. Brett and Austin show, and big news today, Foye Oluokun signs that extension for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Another NCAA tournament's going on. Major League Baseball started up yesterday. Anything catch your attention to Major League Baseball? It's just day one. A lot of runs being scored, I can tell you that.
A lot of runs being scored. Vlad Guerrero doing some yard work with that long home run that he hit. But, I mean, nothing out of the ordinary for me.
Yeah, a 14-run inning for the Diamondbacks. I feel like a lot of the teams that you thought would win one, you know, the Yankees actually get a big throw from Juan Soto that helps them come back to beat the Houston Astros, who had a 4-0 lead in that game. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's exactly what we said it was. The Major League Baseball season is so long, like the result of the opener is not really as important as the feel of the opener.
But you know, there's some fans out there, teams are just like, oh, well, that's it. You know, season's done already. Like, you can tell after one game. Shout out to your Sox.
Yeah, Sox got to win 6-4.
Take care of business. Nice.
I'm trying to learn who my team is.
Sure.
I haven't paid attention much. But Brewers and Mets, Braves and Phillies, they will get to go today. Looks like the weather will cooperate. And Yankees.
Let's play
Astros
two, huh? Let's get two going right away.
There's actually a lot of games today.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers did win, and that middle of the lineup did its thing to help propel the Dodgers to a victory. So just the storylines to watch. I think Ohtani went 2-for-3. They've already played 3 games now. They're 2-1 on the season because of the 2 games in South Korea. So Major League Baseball continues this weekend. The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. See that? I got it going today.
See you, Rep.
The Jumbo Shrimp will open tonight. Nice weekend for them. 7 o'clock, 6:30, I think, on Saturday and Sunday. And the Jumbo Shrimp are just home for a 3-game stand to start the year. And then they'll hit the road and come back in another week and a half or so. You can hear, by the way, the Jumbo Shrimp games over on ESPN 690, our old place. So that's where you can catch the games if you're not going out to the ballpark. But fantastic night to catch a game. Fantastic weekend to catch a game at the ballpark at 121 Financial and right down there at the baseball grounds. You know they'll be ready to go and have all the festivities. And we've got a lot of coverage of the Shrimp coming up all weekend long. All right, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking, you know, Mac Jones kind of started this, and then there was Justin Fields, who finds a home as a backup in Pittsburgh. We know Zach Wilson and Trey Lance really weren't going to have a place to play for the most part. That 21 class dissipated like right before our eyes, other than Trevor. But really, if you start to link it up with the 22 class and some of the recent history at quarterback drafting, it has not been good. It just really hasn't been good. And my vantage point on this was, I was wrong. I thought we were about to get some of the best quarterback play we've ever seen, top to bottom, in the NFL. And now we're left scratching our heads a lot with the quarterback position once again. I don't know if you feel the same way. Like, is the quarterback play right now, top to bottom in the NFL, is it as strong as it's ever been? Is it par for the course, where you got some good, some bad, some elite, some terrible? Or is it worse than it maybe has been in the last 10 years?
Yeah, that's a good question. Overall, let me start by asking you this, Brent. Trevor Lawrence, obviously he's kind of the last man standing right now, so we can just skip him because, you know, he's still doing his thing, best guy of the draft class so far. Justin Fields, did he have the team needed to bring out the best in him?
No.
Zach Wilson?
No.
You don't think Zach Wilson? See, here's the deal.
Not in his rookie year.
No, not as I'm saying just in general. Like, I mean, what we've seen so far from his career.
Yeah, I think he.
I mean,
the
offensive
defense
line
was very good.
Yeah,
offensive line was not good.
But you saw the go-to receiver.
Yeah.
So I think with Zach Wilson, you kind of know what you.
I think Zach Wilson was more on hit a lot. I think you could blame more him.
Of course, yeah.
Whereas Justin Fields, I have a hard time blaming him as much as the organization.
Sure, and then obviously Mac Jones. How do you feel about that?
I really blame the organization on Mac. And again, I think it feels like there's some of him involved here that he didn't handle some of it as well as he could. Maybe that's just a young guy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they did a hell of a job with him in year one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought they turned around and did about as bad a job as you could do in year two. I mean, almost in a different way to the extent of what like the Jags did to Trevor in year one with Urban.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, we're going to call him busts right now. And let's be honest, when you're a first-round pick like that, like that comes with the territory. All right? So I'm not saying that they're not busts. But also I think that circumstances and situations can purvey that, hey, maybe you weren't really set up for success. And maybe with a new environment, you will find some sort of success. Zach Wilson, sorry, man. I'm out at you. I don't think it's going to work. Chris Sims, sorry. I mean, that was your boy. And all the endorsements and everything, too, that you got in New York. Sorry, man. I think I'm going to roll Trevor here over anybody. But getting back to like what I think overall, Brett, in the league, I still think it's kind of the same as it's always been. Like, it's
really?
Kind of I think, your top five, it's really top heavy. Right, like, I mean, let's throw them out right now. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I'm going to say it. Justin Herbert from the past. I don't know. We'll see going forward. Joe Burrow. And then Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, whatever you want to throw in the mix as well. I mean, that's, to me, it's the top-heavy top five.
Yeah, I think you have your elite.
I probably miss somebody, too.
What I think about it is almost on the bottom end.
Okay.
How bad is the bad?
Well, Desmond Ridder last year
was pretty bad.
Was bad.
Was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Bryce Young, because of, again, maybe more situational.
Situation.
But, yeah, I do think if you look at it across the board, I think it's still better than what it's been. I think you have more good quarterbacks. Like, Trevor Lawrence, we're bought into Trevor here. The rest of the league, I believe, is actually bought into Trevor here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you would rank him in the top eight. In the top 10, you might have to get to 12 and even 13, 14 coming off last year because of the injuries and stuff and some of the turnovers
yeah.
to actually rank him. So when you have Trevor Lawrence, who you think you're going to sign to a mega deal, and you think he's still your guy for a long time to come. I mean, how many organizations 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago were thinking that the 13th guy, 14th guy potentially in the NFL, you wanted to sign him and have him for the rest
yeah.
of his career?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good indicator that we do have more good quarterback play than we've ever had.
So to me, this is the ultimate indicator. If you go through team by team and you say the team, do they want a new quarterback or not? Are they happy with what they have? You're like, that to me is what signifies is like, I think like, even like the New York Giants, well, you paid Daniel Jones a lot of money, but would they rather upgrade?
Yes.
I mean, how many teams can really say are trying to upgrade right now?
You know,
I mean, we have like, the Cardinals. I mean, they're pot committed to Kyler Murray. But I don't think they want to go another direction right now.
Wait, you do or don't?
I don't think. I think Kyler Murray is going to be their guy for years to come.
So you think so? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you?
Yeah. I mean, I think if they had a chance, well, they do have a chance to do it. If they wanted to trade him to Minnesota, they could or something like that. Now, somebody's going to dance with you there.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think you'd have to label them as they're all in on Kyler Murray. I think it's very debatable whether the rest of the league would be all in on Kyler Murray, but that's not the nature of your question.
Okay, so you have the Falcons. They're probably drafting, looking to upgrade eventually from Kirk Cousins. Like, Kirk Cousins seems to be like a Band-Aid right now.
Yeah, but let's just go 2 years out. Let's just say two, three years out, and he's fine. So
he's fine. Okay, Ravens, obviously they're good. Bills, they're great. Panthers, I mean, they
got their guy.
They got their guy. We'll see how that turns out.
They have no other choice, really.
Yeah. Bears,
they're gonna get their guy.
Bengals,
yep.
They have their guy. Browns, ooh.
They have to. They're committed. They got their guy.
Yeah. Cowboys.
Dallas does. There's gonna be a lot of noise around it, but Dak's their guy.
Yep.
Denver doesn't.
Denver, so that's another team. The Lions got their guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Packers got their guy. Texans got their guy. Colts got their guy. I mean, we'll see.
They have to.
But they have their guy. Jaguars got their guy. Kansas City Chiefs got their guy. Raiders.
No.
Need their guy. Okay, so that's three. Chargers got their guy. Rams.
Yeah, I'd say
right now they have their guy.
Yeah.
Dolphins.
Yes.
Yeah, they have their
guy.
They're
going to give him a contract.
Vikings.
No.
Okay. Going to need to find their guy.
New England, no.
Patriots going to need to find their guy. Saints.
I would say no.
All right.
I feel like no. I feel like if they were drafting the top five, they would go get a young guy right now.
Yep.
But they're just not.
Jones.
Like 14.
You think they're kind of pot committed to Jones, or do you think they can...
Who, the Giants?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I think they don't have their guy. Okay. Put him in don't.
Okay. Jets have their guy for right now. We'll see. Eagles have their guy. Steelers have their couple guys. San Fran's got their guy. Seahawks. I mean, they have their guy in Geno.
Yeah, I would say so.
There could be an upgrade. I think they like Geno.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay just re-signed their guy.
Yep.
Tennessee Titans.
I'd say yeah. They got their guy. We'll see.
Yep. Commanders.
No.
So we have about 7-8 teams that.
But you could say the Commanders are going to have their guy.
Well,
right?
And that's the thing,
so,
right? So are the Patriots. Depending how the draft plays out, I mean, take three of those teams off the list. So what? We have four teams that are kind of like in limbo. And the rest is pretty much set with what they're at.
And even when, if you go to your original list, that's 25% of the league that doesn't feel like they have their quarterback, or at least isn't committed to the player that they have over the next 2 or 3 years in this sample.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Stafford's a little tricky because he might only play another year or two. We'll see. But let's just go with it for another. He could play for another three years. And get it done. So, yeah, I think. I guess that's my point. I think we did answer it. I think the plate is better. I think if you go back 5 years, I think if you go back 10 years, I think if you go back 20 years, you can't get 24 teams in the league to say, yeah, feel good.
That's a hard
thing to do at that spot. That's been my overriding thing. But what's fascinating about that is the 21 class and the 22 class haven't been as good as they thought they'd be. They have to recycle. I mean, Chicago has to reset. New England has to reset. The Jets had to reset because of Rodgers, right? Whoever else, what are we missing? Well, San Francisco got kind of fortunate. So the Packers and San Fran get a little fortunate with the moves they made, or hats off to them. But two of those teams are kind of left doing it again. And I'm telling you, Chicago's getting a little fortunate because of the trade with Carolina that they get to do it again.
Yeah.
And New England all of a sudden now is picking top three, so they can do it again.
I mean, I'm not going to call Green Bay fortunate because at least they had the plan.
They did have
right?
the plan.
Like, I mean, it was essentially what you did with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, right? You brought a guy in, much to the chagrin of a lot of Packers fans who aren't really talking smack now about it, but at the time they were kind of turned off by it. But now you have your guy. San Fran, like, yeah, we talked about this before a little bit. They kind of lucked into it. I mean, now, yes, you have the question. Would you give up knowing what you know now for Brock Purdy? Like, would you have taken Brock Purdy and Trey Lance's spot?
No.
You wouldn't have drafted him at that spot. I'm saying know what you know now. I think that's a valid question, Brent.
Yeah, I don't.
Guy played in the Super Bowl, and I get it. He had help around him.
Yeah, I just.
Was in the MVP running for a little bit.
I feel like I wouldn't.
Okay.
Being honest. Like, I feel like I wouldn't. You would?
I mean, I'm not saying that I would, but I think you can make an argument for it.
Well, I think you can.
And that's kind of my point, though, where it's like, yeah, you lucked in with Brock Purdy. You made a mistake with Trey Lance, but it all worked out in the end anyways. You know, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I call that getting lucky.
Sure. No, I hear you. I mean, yeah.
That's a good question, though. Like, I guess.
Would you have taken Brock Purdy at Trey Lance's spot?
Knowing what you know now.
Yeah.
Do you think Brock, and this is very unfair to him, even for me to think that way or any of us to think this way. The guy's done a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
But are you still sold on him? If San Fran was picking number 1, 2, or 3 in this draft and they could get Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, or heck, for that matter, now J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Would they go do it?
You know, it's wild because, like, I look at Brock Purdy. And, like, I think if you put Brock Purdy on 70% of the NFL teams, he's not going to, like, enhance them. You know, he's not going to make them a better team. Like, you know, you put Aaron Rodgers on any team, back in Aaron Rodgers' prime, dude, that team's immediately a playoff contender, Super Bowl contender. Brock Purdy can't say the same thing. But on the flip side of that coin, though, Brent, I mean, you ask a rookie to come in Philadelphia, does his thing, and it's like, well, his genetic makeup, like, he must have something.
Got some. Yeah.
You know, so to answer your question.
And he started winning games late. That was the problem with them, right? They could never win a game in the fourth quarter. Yeah. He started to do that.
So, like, if I'm going to be truthful here, and, like, does he have something, an attribute that makes you like jump off the page, like the arm strength or like the speed? Not really, but the guy just knows how to win. And if that's the case, then yeah, I'm probably gonna roll with him over any of these court. I mean, Caleb Williams, whatever. But like, I would like Brock Purdy.
I think it's a fascinating question. on if the Niners were picking somehow, if they were in like the Chicago situation where they were the ones that made the trade and they were able to trade with Carolina, and Carolina ended up being number one overall pick, and then San Francisco's number one, or let's just say even number two in this scenario, if they were picking in the top five, would they draft a quarterback? Or would they be like, we're riding with Brock Purdy and go keep building around? I don't know the answer to that. Like, and that's a weird thing to say. But just because you have a good player doesn't mean you can't upgrade. We say that all the time, and that might be the case at the quarterback position, too. Would you even upset it? Listen, they're not in that situation. You don't have to worry about it. But it's just a fascinating view on how good do you feel about Brock Purdy. And I have a feeling we're going to have this kind of conversation for the next 5 years around Brock Purdy until they lose more talent on San Fran and he's still able to do it. Sure. And by that time, by the way, he might be a seasoned player that's able to do it. I say this all the time about Brady and about Russell Wilson. They were set up very nicely at the outset. They were not asked to do what they were asked to do 5 years into their career. Mm-hmm. And Brock Purdy might be in that same boat where he can be groomed and built and confident all this way, and then when it's time to ask him to do more things, he's ready for it, rather than in year one or year two, where all these other quarterbacks that we're about to talk about or have been talking about, they're asked to do it now. Right, we need you to do this right away. You can't just ease into this thing. We need you to be good. We need you to carry us. We need you to pull us along. Tough spot for a lot of these guys.
I mean, I know we had this ranking before, and I can't remember like where you had him finishing, but like, to you, where is Brock Purdy in terms of quarterbacks in this league, in terms of ranking? Like, where would you put him?
I think right now, I think you have to slide him up based on what he did at the end of games. It's not just around him. It's end of game. You still have to be good. Like, we've seen plenty of quarterbacks still not be good with decent situations. I think he's probably a middle-of-the-pack quarterback for me. I think he's between, like, 14 and 18.
Okay.
You know, but he's not a top 10 quarterback for me. I think if you took quarterbacks between 11 and 20 that you wanted to rank in the league, and no matter who that was, including Trevor Lawrence, if you want to put him there for right now, if you put them on San Francisco, I think we'd be singing their praises too.
Sure.
I mean, that's real life.
Yeah. I mean, it is a lot of talent. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo have that talent, though, too. And, like, I mean,
got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but was Jimmy Garoppolo ever in, like, an MVP running? I mean, maybe he was. I just don't remember it. But I don't remember people saying, like, Jimmy Garoppolo could be an MVP. And Brock Purdy essentially was until they played, like, what, the Ravens game? Or
the
one game?
Yeah, it was the Ravens. But Jimmy G's a great example here. I mean, when Jimmy G has not been in San Francisco around that talent, they've struggled, right? I mean, he struggled. Like, he's a backup quarterback. Who just went to the Rams, I think it was. So I think he's a great example. I think Jimmy G can't even be a starting quarterback right now. But on San Francisco, in that situation, he helped save the San Francisco 49ers the 1 year they started Trey Lance. And they needed Garoppolo until he got hurt. And then Purdy came in to help save the San Francisco 49ers. So, yeah, I think that actually is an exclamation point on my point and probably a lot of other people's points. Jimmy G was there. He got them to the same place Purdy got them.
Yeah.
And that was, by the way, wasn't that pre-McCaffrey?
Of course.
And that was pre-McCaffrey, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that echoes our point of, like, I think you could take a bunch of guys in the league. Like, how good would Justin Fields be? Is he going to be a backup? How good would he be? How good would Mac, if they really did get Mac at that third pick, how good would he be in that spot compared to now being a backup in Jacksonville?
Well, then here's the other question, though, too, Bern, I wanted to address. Then how bad is Trey Lance?
That's a fair one now.
Now, I mean, he hasn't really got a big sample size, but once again, from, like, I'm sure what they've seen in practice and everything, like,
I think Trey Lance is starting to go down the path of a Josh Rosen, where it was a very small sample, and then everything else around it, whatever that is, and I don't know what everything else is, just says, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because Josh Rosen's very similar, right? I mean, how many career games did Josh Rosen play? I think he played a lot of them his first year, but after that, like, nothing.
Yeah, he had a few in Miami, I think.
Just very few.
Yeah, but very few. Yeah.
They gave up on him quick. Mm-hmm. I think he ended up in Tampa, never did anything, and now here we go with Trey Lance. He's on his, what, third team? He's not in Dallas anymore, I think. Or maybe he still is in Dallas.
I have to look it up.
There was talk about like him going to like Minnesota or, and them giving him a shot. But hey, here's the bottom line: Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis,
Trey Lance still on the Cowboys, by the way.
Oh, he still is on the Cowboys. Yep. Zappe, Sam Howell, Trevor, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and the story here is Trevor Lawrence is the only starter. These other guys have been traded, third string in the UFL, cut, now a backup, traded, will be traded or cut, meaning Zach Wilson, traded. And the 33rd team here, they talked to executives, said, why is the shelf life of young quarterbacks so short? And this executive said, players like Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson would likely be second or third round picks if they came out when Aaron Rodgers did.
Interesting.
The fact that they are considered top prospects highlights how desperate teams are for a quarterback and how inflated the quarterback market has become. Now, what I would argue with that executive, hasn't it always been inflated? I mean, haven't we always shoved quarterbacks to the top?
Also, keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers dropped immensely in that draft, too. It wasn't like Aaron Rodgers like a big commodity.
He's sitting in that green room for a while. He also said quarterbacks are drafted more based on their position and actual skill level. Before the rookie wage scale, only players worthy of top 20 were drafted in the top 10. Now quarterbacks are frequently picked in the top 10 simply because of position. So that's understandable. Eric Galko from the Shrine Bowl says, I believe it really stems from the 2011 CBA change regarding the rookie wage scale.
Okay.
And before that, the investment in all draft picks, especially quarterbacks, was so significant that teams couldn't justify moving on until they had to. From 2012 to 18, we didn't have any great quarterback years or a lot of QBs that teams should have moved on from sooner, like Blake Bortles or Trubisky, were the only exceptions. Combine that with the correlation between rookie deals and Super Bowl appearances, it's likely why teams are so ready to move on, especially from first-round quarterbacks. So basically what they're saying is that the finances of the NFL have done it. Chicago's the greatest point here. I think you can make the case that Justin Fields is fine in Chicago if he has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and a first pick coming in and then a ninth pick coming in.
DeAndre Swift running the football.
DeAndre Swift. Like, I think Justin Fields would be fine.
Yeah.
But what they're also factoring in now is, wait a minute, we don't know he's the guy. Should we give him $40, $50 million, or should we reboot the position with another guy we don't fully know is the guy, but he's certainly as talented, if not more talented, than Justin Fields is projected to be? Like, I think the whole Chicago move that makes sense, which I didn't believe on the front part of it, but really it does make a lot of sense, is just reboot the contract. You get another rookie deal rather than having to give a guy any money. Whether it's Fields making $30 million even, it's still a lot more money than a guy like Caleb Williams.
No, it's true. But the thing with Caleb Williams is that you gave him all the pieces, so you are tied to him now. Like, it's got to be the Caleb Williams show, regardless if it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Oh, yeah.
You're tied to him for 3 or 4
well,
years.
Well, and everybody's gone if they don't get it right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
we'll
obvious. Within probably 2 years.
Yeah.
NFC executive says this, frankly, looking at the 21-22 list, some of the guys just weren't really good and were overdrafted. Maybe the teams just didn't realize until the player was in the building. It was like, oh, boy, we know what it's supposed to look like, and this isn't it. So you go, why do we do that? The answer you come up with is, we did it based on our needs. He said, for me, I don't care what position you take. If you force yourself to take a guy too early, you're going to wake up at some point and just say, well, shoot, he just isn't really that good. And it looks way worse when it's a top 15 pick and it's a quarterback of all positions. I think that's real.
Yeah.
And again, this is the position that gets shoved up. Sometimes you reach. The Jaguars, if you go back, I'll give you an example. They reached for Quincy Williams at the time because they didn't have a fourth-round pick. Now, if they stayed patient with Quincy Williams, maybe they didn't reach, right?
But reach would have been a steal.
It might have been a steal. But you don't reach with linebacker very often. You don't reach with offensive line very often. You don't reach with receiver very often.
Yeah.
You actually will wait for the next guy to drop to you sometimes or even trade back with those positions. You reach with the quarterback position.
No, I agree, Brent. But at the same time, too, and I'm not trying to like make all the excuses up for quarterbacks here. I play on the defensive side of the ball, could care less. But keeping it 100, it's the only position in football that is predicated off of 10 other guys around you.
True.
You know, like, if you draft a linebacker in the first round, guess what? Whether you have good interior linemen, whether you have good, I mean, it helps if you have good cornerbacks and everything. But, like, if you're a good linebacker, you're going to be a good linebacker, all right? If they draft an edge in the first round, if you have skills at edge rusher, you'll be a good edge rusher, regardless of what the safeties look like, regardless of what the interior, like, you're just going to be a good edge rusher. If you're a good quarterback, Yeah, okay, but you better have some wide receivers. You better have that offensive line. A running game is going to help. A coach is going to help. Play calling is going to help. A lot more things go into being a great quarterback than being a great linebacker or edge rusher or running back, for that matter.
Well, it was Jim Harbaugh at the owners' meetings actually had. I don't know if you ever saw that soundbite that he had. He was talking about why the offensive line is so important.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
And he said the very thing that you said. He said offensive line is actually the only position on the field that doesn't have to rely on anybody else to be good. And it's like, great point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, yeah, if they're good, they're good. But if they're not good, the quarterback suffers.
Yeah.
The tight end suffers. The running back suffers. The receivers suffer. Heck, your defense suffers.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was a quote that kind of got going around the circles, and it's like, well, that does make a lot of sense why people invest, why Harbaugh in his career has always invested. You don't need the domino effect. You're absolutely right about quarterback. They need them all to be good. They need them. Whose fault was it this year? Was it Calvin Ridley not being on the same page? Parker Washington being a new guy? Or was it the offensive line not being able to block? Or was it the offensive line not being able to block the run game that impacted the Jaguars in general on offense? That speaks volumes. You don't really know it's one answer. But on offensive line, you can simply say, we were good or not.
True. No, that's a good point.
We either block people or we don't.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do like that. Now, here's a couple other ones, because I think this is some fascinating stuff. In general, quarterbacks are given less time to develop nowadays. What used to be a window of 3 or 4 seasons to assess their progress now been shortened to no more than 2 seasons. Each situation is a unique one. I think the general, the time frame for evaluating these quarterbacks has been accelerated significantly. I also think despite these players maybe not showing that they're ready to be the franchise quarterback, they still have trade value because their contracts are right in line with good backups. And that's why you're seeing the Mac and Justin Fields stuff, perhaps. All right, one more. An AFC executive says this. There's much more emphasis needed on development, but organizations take chances because they know their contract life often depends on the position. Also, coaches no longer have the luxury of grace periods. They're expected to win immediately, so they're under pressure to find the right quarterback quickly. Coaches used to have 4 years regardless, but now they only have 2 or 3, and they sometimes seek another quarterback to try to extend their own job security. And I think this might have been the case in Chicago as well, right?
Yeah.
That kind of goes along with those lines. And I would agree. So if all these executives are saying this, does ownership need to listen more and say, we're not setting up the quarterback for success because of a lot of these parameters? There's too much pressure from the outside noise to win right now. We got to go and transparently say to our fan base, this is a 4-year project. Like, this is a 4-year this.
Yeah.
We got to get the best out of this guy. We've got to let him come up at the right path. A la Pat, and you can use these examples now, Austin.
I know.
Like, you can use examples of that will get a fan base engaged and be like, okay, I can buy into that.
No, I mean, listen, I get where you're coming from, Brent, Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows, if you will. But in the real world, Stroud comes in for Houston, makes the biggest difference ever. Took 1 year to turn around. Other teams see that and say, all right. Well, we can do that too. I have a hard time believing there's going to be an owner out there. There'll be a fan base out there. There'll be a GM out there that says, you know what? We can, let's just slowly ease ourselves into it. Nah, not how it works. I'm not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's just the way it is. All right. So at the end of the day, it's a performance based business. You essentially got 1 or 2 years to make things work. And if you don't, well, then here comes the hot seat. So I definitely understand it. I get the philosophy. But then I look at teams that can do it in a year, and it's like, well, why can't you do that? Like, if I'm an owner who, you know, is going through a season where it's like, all right, we're rebuilding, fine. I point to the Texans and say, well, whoa, how come you can't do what they do? What's the excuse? What's going on, guys?
Okay. I think that's fair, by the way.
Okay.
Let's leave Houston out for a second.
Okay.
I'm going to run through these teams real fast. And you tell me if they did it in a year. Buffalo. No, it took some growth and development and patience. They were very patient with him.
With Josh Allen?
Yes.
Okay.
Very, very. Go look at year one. People want to give up on him. That's where Jalen Ramsey called him trash.
Yeah, but didn't year two, though, kind of turn around?
Okay, but that's year two. I'm just saying immediately, because here's what I want to do this for a quick second.
Okay.
If I were to say, like, you show me C.J. Stroud.
Sure.
But I show you the best quarterback in the game right now is Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah.
And they sat him. Why wouldn't everybody say, it's a copycat league. if it's a copycat league, why wouldn't everybody say that they know that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and this Kansas City stuff, they've been doing it the right way? Mahomes is the best guy in the game.
Okay.
He sat.
Okay.
Why wouldn't I sit my guy and learn from that? Why wouldn't that be the trend?
Because some guys have had success by not sitting.
I get it. But the guy that's had the most success,
sure,
sat.
But then that's like saying, like, okay, but I think people understand that no one's going to be Patrick Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes is a unicorn.
Well, he is. Or I mean, he might be, but, or might just been he had the benefit. I mean, we're watching a Jordan Love come in now, and when he gets his opportunity, I'm not suggesting, by the way, you should sit for 3 years.
Sure.
But he did sit, right? So, yeah. Listen, the Bills, it took a while, but they were patient. Year one was not it.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins, I mean, that wasn't year one.
Yeah.
The Jets, obviously not. The Patriots actually got a lot out of Mac, but it wasn't like everybody's going to crown him like MVP candidate. They were built well around. I think Lamar Jackson, when he came in, actually in that second part of that first year,
yeah,
I think did really well.
Yeah.
I think it was a nice showing. It was like, oh, we got something here. The Browns are a different animal here, I think.
Sure.
The Steelers as well. They're not in the same boat.
Okay.
Burrow is interesting because Burrow showed some really good signs and then got hurt. Like six games in or whatever, I mean, it was.
Yeah, started right away.
But really showed some good signs by starting right away. And you knew like he was going to be the guy.
I mean, he had pieces, but yeah, but still did his thing.
Obviously, Mahomes sat. The Raiders don't factor here. The Broncos don't factor here. Herbert's interesting to your point, to help you with your point.
Yeah.
They didn't plan to do it. They planned to do it the way Mahomes did it.
Yeah.
But then he had to get shoved in there and he actually did it.
Yep.
So he goes under the Stroud category.
Yep.
I would think like Stroud
Russell
and Lamar
Wilson.
Jackson. Yeah, Russell Wilson could be that.
Dak Prescott.
Did Prescott go in right away?
Yep. Tony Romo got hurt in training camp.
But was Tony Romo... My question was Dak Prescott good right away in year one?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he was... Wasn't he legit?
Right out of the gates?
I mean, let me look up the numbers quick.
I mean, the fourth-round guy, so the expectation level was low.
Yeah,
he like...
But even harder, though, right? Like, you trust your team to a fourth-round quarterback, and here, I'll bring up the stats.
Well, they ended up making him the guy. They made that decision, right? They chose over Tony Romo. Jalen Hurts, he didn't play right away, did he?
No, because, that was the whole thing with the Doug Peterson stuff, right? Because they had Hurts, but they didn't...
Yeah, that's Doug was still there. You're right.
Dak Prescott, his first year, 16 games, went 13-3. 3,667 yards passing, 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
I'd say that was a pretty good year.
Not bad. Uh-huh. I think he kind of turned around. Oh, I didn't want to say turn around because, I mean, the Cowboys were good before that, but obviously he did his thing.
So Fields obviously doesn't. The Lions are in a different – not everybody's in this situation, obviously, that we're talking about with a young quarterback coming in. But Bryce Young. Bryce Young would have been way better sitting.
Sure.
Way better. You run the risk of losing that guy. Like, don't we wonder if he's ever going to bounce back from that year?
Yes, absolutely.
So, I guess it's a 50-50 thing. I don't know if it's exactly 50-50, but we got enough examples to say, yeah, it's a good. We got enough examples to say, yeah, I would sit him like Patrick Mahomes.
Listen, I've been very adamant how I feel about it. I think if you have, like, listen, Dak Prescott, was he successful because of the team around him? Absolutely. Okay? I'm trying to think of other quarterbacks that came in right away.
Well, I've always said this about, like, Brady was year two, but Russell Wilson, like you're saying.
Wilson.
That was, his team was good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Now, Houston is a different example because they weren't necessarily, like, we didn't think they were good. He really elevated them.
True.
Like, I think Stroud's a super outlier here.
Yeah.
To go get a team that picked, like, second and third in the draft.
Yeah.
And then to do what they just did is an outlier.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall, like, listen, if I take you in the first round, high, and I need you to come in. I need you to come in and perform. And that's just it's the way that it's got to be. Now, if you have a suitable backup quarterback, a la an Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, then sure, let Alex Smith take the reins because Alex Smith, in his own right, was a great quarterback, right? So it all depends on situation. If you have the guy to lead your team and let the other guys sit, cool. You know, if you have Aaron Rodgers, then yeah, let Jordan Love sit behind him. If you had Brett Favre, then yeah, let Aaron Rodgers sit behind Brett Favre. Oh, it is what it is. But some teams don't have that luxury, Brent.
Yeah, I get it. I just think then you patience and you better have the right makeup and you better be able to be tough enough and you're not shake your confidence. You can't do what happened to Blaine Gabbert. Like, you can't be shoved in there and then not be able to recover.
But once again, you can't fire David Garrard like you did, let him go, and then all of a sudden, hey, Blaine, a couple weeks later, it's your team.
That's
like,
right. The Jag, that Jag messed that up, right?
Yeah, that was the issue, because that was the issue from the defensive standpoint. That was the issue of the offensive standpoint in the locker room. We thought Dave was going to be the guy. We went to the luncheon announcing Dave as our starting quarterback, and then you fire him right after the luncheon. Like, yeah, that's going to throw any team for a little bit of a loop, especially the guy that you draft in the first round that's supposed to eventually be the predecessor to David Garrard.
Yeah, because they went with McCown early.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously within 2-3 weeks, or mm-hmm. I think it was the Jets game where he threw like 3 or 4 picks.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'll give you an example of a team that might be doing it the way, or looking at the way the Chiefs have done it, and maybe this is what they're doing. The Raiders. So if the Raiders go get, and there are a lot of projections that have them getting Bo Nix.
Yeah.
For example.
Okay.
So if they go get Bo Nix, they just gave Minshew $15 million guaranteed, 2-year deal, $25
million. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like this is going to be Minshew's team this year mm-hmm. with a Bo Nix learning curve.
Yep.
Very much like, again, Alex Smith was on a different level probably than Gardner Minshew. But remember, when Alex Smith got over to Kansas City, it's not like people were drooling over Alex Smith. I mean, he had gone through 7 different coordinators in 7 years or something, and he hadn't been playing well in San Fran either.
True, but I mean, he always had the moniker of the game manager.
Yeah.
But he still did win some games.
But Gardner will do that and can't do that. So I think they're trying to duplicate or replicate that scenario.
Sure.
I think the Bears are trying to replicate the Houston scenario. Let's go get weapons. Let's hit. Now, again, Houston did it different. They hit on a lot of draft picks.
Correct.
They got risky in the draft. They even moved up on the defensive side of the ball, and then they hit their receivers. Mm-hmm. Chicago's doing it more with proven players.
Correct.
And I think Chicago, by the way, is doing it right this time.
Well, and we'll keep in mind, too, that the draft's still there for Chicago if they want to get another wide receiver as well.
And they're at number 9. So, they can certainly do that. Let's take a break. Brent and Austin show. We've got, the noon hour approaches, and place is filling up here at Spring Sports Brewery. It's busy for lunch. I wonder if any of these guys want to take us on in the free throw shooting contest. We'll shoot some free throws. You make 10 out of 10. You put your name in the hat anytime between now and next Friday to come back on Saturday for the Final Four and take a chance at a 65-inch TV. Our baseball predictions, there they are, and we're off and running in the Major League Baseball season. A lot of ball today, including here in Jacksonville, as the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp open the season.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.